All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for another Africa Discipleship. We're in lesson number 5 in the series From Babylon to Jerusalem. You recall they were 4 beasts that Daniel dreamt about in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, and they were identified as Babylon, and then Media Persia, and then the Greece, and that's followed by the Roman Empire. It says in verse 4, the first was like a lion, he had eagle's wings. In verse 5, another beast, the second was like a bear, that was the second beast. And this, verse 6 says, and this I beheld, and I looked, like the third was like a leopard, which had upon its back 4 wings. And verse 7 says, and after that I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fort, and dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. And promised in the last lesson that we're going to look at the 10 horns today. He says in verse 8 of Daniel, the 7th chapter, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, whom were the 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And I beheld, and the horns were like the eyes of a man, and mounted, speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. We know that's Jesus. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came out from before him. Let's pick up a few more verses. He says, verse 11, and I behold then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I behold even till the beast was slain and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. Verse 12 says, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet they lived, their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Notice not now, they were for a season. And verse 13 says, and I saw the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came, and the clouds of heaven came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and so on. Now, he gives us the interpretation. The great beasts, which are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. So here it is, there are 4 beasts. And we have identified these before, but let's just go over it again. It says, but the saints of the, the great beasts are 4, which shall arise out of the earth. And verse 18 says, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Verse 19, then I would not know the truth of the 4th beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured broken pieces and stamped the residue with its feet. And verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in the head of this beast. There were 10 horns. Now we're going to look at those 10 horns. Because the 10 horns out of his head, it says in verse 24, are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. Notice now, the 10 horns represent 10 kings. And another little horn came up, you read earlier. That little horn is coming up among these. All right? But in fact, let's read verse 25. Verse 24 again, and the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. it has to be three of these kings. Now, I want us to go ahead and take a just think for a minute. What we're seeing is there are these governments, the kings, the orange represents these governments, and three of them were plucked up. As we shall see, the Roman Empire is going to collapse, it's going to fall. We can prove that from history. And then there are attempts to resurrect the Roman Empire. No, they didn't come together all at once, otherwise it would be simultaneous. That's not, it doesn't make sense. Three of them were plucked up. So it has to be sequential, all right? So with that in mind, let us go ahead and look at this scenario. After the destruction of Rome, there arose three main powers who were all followers of unorthodox, as they call it, nominal Christianity. It's a brand that is called Arianism, A-R-I-A-N-I-S-M. And it is one where they don't recognize the deity of Jesus Christ. So that is a stark contrast to Judaism. It's also a contrast to the Roman Catholicism. And so there you could see right away there is a religious conflict between the various groups. Now, they revived the Roman Empire. Three of these revived the Roman Empire, but because they were of different religious viewpoint, there was not really any peace among them. They did not trust each other. That is why there was always conflict. And so the Roman Church was always seeking to uproot these folks. And so three of them were actually plucked up. Well, how many do you have remaining? Seven. All right. And we're going to look at these one by one. So what we find then is that the Roman Church had this conflict, removed three of them. After that, the Roman Church was able to inspire Justinian, who became known as the one who Justinian the Great, the one who resurrected the Roman Empire. Of course, remember I told you there were three attempts before, and he lasted for a while. And so let's go ahead and let's look at the timeline, the chronology for just a minute, and then the purpose again is for you to understand how detailed God is in giving us information about how things are going during that time and also for our time now, so we won't be caught off guard. For example, the conflicts that you're having in Kenya right now, all these were part of the prophecy. I remember there was a gentleman who came over to Kenya when President Moi was your current president at the time, and he was explaining what was going to happen from what God was showing him. And of course, things happened just the same way. You can look that up in the history. These are actually about 20 years ago. So what I'm trying to convey is that God is always giving us information. And so here it is. He has given us in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel all the major empires leading to the kingdom of God. Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome collapse, resurrections are made, and nine have already taken place. The Bible says there are going to be 10. How do we know that? Because the 10 horns represent them. All right? So that's how we know. That's very, very easy for us to figure out. Here is a list of various resurrections of the Roman Empire. The first group was called the Vandals. And by the way, that's a word in English that means someone who just destroy things. And that's what they did. They really destroyed most of the Roman Empire, at least the Western part. Let me back up. The Roman Empire in his latter days became weak in its central government. So it was divided into two, East and the West. You have the Rome as the capital for the West, and East, Constantinople. And so that continued for quite some time. They collaborated However, they were divided, and that was represented by the two legs, which we saw in Daniel chapter 2. So what we found then was that the western part is where most of the upheaval was, because that's where they had more of the resources attached and so on. So when the different groups came, they were always attacking initially the western part of the Roman Empire, and the eastern part would agree with them and accept what they do just to kind of maintain some kind of peace and to show that, okay, yes, we are with you. And so they were there really as a recorder of what was actually taking place. So the first group came, they were the Vandals. It's around 428. They came a little earlier, but most of the time, King, I cannot pronounce his name, Gaiseric, I think that's how you said it. And he was around about 428. This is now the year AD, 428. And he was dominant during that time. And of course, he really made his demise in 455. The next group that came up, remember now, they were all of this strange religion, the one where they claim to be Christianity. However, they do not accept the deity of Jesus Christ. So you can see why there is a big conflict immediately. All right. Now, the second group was the Heruli. They were same religion, same Aryan religion. And of course, he became dominant. And they started out, but he became dominant in 483. The year 483 became king of Italy. You can look it over. And so what happens is that these groups, they lasted for a while, but they did not really, should say, take over completely the empire, because the eastern portion was still there. And then what we found was that another group called Ostrogoths, they came about 526. That's really when they were at their zenith. And so, it means the highest point. And they now was, that strange religion. And finally, the Romans gathered enough strength and they were able to drive them out. They did this under a man named Justinian, which they referred to him as Justinian the Great. And they referred to him as, this is about the year 554, somewhere off there, 554 or 555. And that was the fourth resurrection now of the Roman Empire. And because now they have the Catholic Church with them, that is why they got the official title. So the three groups you had before, remember it says three of them were plucked up? Those were the Vandals, the Early, and the Ostrogoths. Now you have the fourth group, that's Justinian. Then later on, some 300 plus years later, a gentleman by the name of Charlemagne, he came on the scene, and of course he went to Rome, and they had a plot, an allegiance with the Pope, and from then on they referred to this as the Holy Roman Empire. Why is that? Because the Rome Pope blesses it up front and say, all right, okay, you guys take care of the physical, I'll take care of the spiritual. And so that was the fifth resurrection of the Roman Empire. Did it last? No. Because overall, what was going on here? The devil is the one who's giving them the power, seat, and great authority. This is not from God. Let's note the difference. Around 962 came another man on the scene. His name was Otto the Great. And he had some descendants who helped rule over a period of time. But in 962, that's when you have the next resurrection. Later on, you have the Habsburg, and that family still exists to this very day. Yes, Otto von Habsburg. Well, he just died probably 10 years ago. But they still exist today, and you can look it up, the Habsburg dynasty. And they came on the scene in 1530. The Bible, the recording says that he was crowned 1530. I saw another writing that says 1538, but I won't argue about that. But they ruled for a while. And then later on, of course, their empire collapsed. They all collapsed. And then the eighth resurrection was under this gentleman called Napoleon Bonaparte. He came on the scene 1804. He actually was on around a little before that, but that's really when he became dominant, and he ruled for a while. The ninth resurrection came under Mussolini, and in 1935, he decided that he's going to resurrect the Roman Empire, as he put it. You notice they all says they're going to what? Resurrect the Roman Empire. Now, it's interesting to note that the Germans, they call themselves the sons of the Roman. And the word Kaiser is the German word for Caesar. And so you see the association right there. So Adolf Hitler came on the scene, and he really was the dominant military power, because this, the sons of the Romans, they believed they were the dominant military power, and they're going to be again in the final resurrection. However, what happened is that they associated with Mussolini, who had the, you know, such a spiritual allegiance with Rome, since he was from Italy. But anyway, they both went their demise, and so that is the, that was the ninth resurrection. Now, the Bible teaches that there is going to be 10. So one more remains. Well, if you look at the European Union, and there's so much information on the internet about it, the European Union, they claim they are resurrecting the Roman Empire. And, you know, for years they've been doing this. They have their number. It used to be called EQ. It's now called Euro. And they have their own money, and they have this quasi-political arrangements and so on. But we know what the Bible teaches, that they are going to what? They're going to finally dominate the whole world. Well, there's some qualification to that. The Western world, that is. Some of the East are going to be set left loose for a while so that they can attack them, and God is going to use them in that way. We'll talk about that in another lesson. But I want us to go back and look at something in the book of Daniel, the second chapter, and in verse 28. Let's see, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28. It says, "There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and he had made known unto King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. The dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." And so he told him. Now notice now, God made known to Nebuchadnezzar what is going to take place. Well, guess what? That same God is also giving us details about how things are going to be in our time. And so he has shown us the 10 resurrections, so we won't be wondering what is taking place, and we are able to identify concretely from various sources the 9 resurrections that have taken place already, and we see the final one that is actually in place, position really, and it is waiting to come on the scene. Now, what is stopping it from coming on the scene? The United States of America. As long as United States remain a dominant power, Europe will not be able to dominate the world. But when United States collapses, and it will, why? Because the people are not living the way God says we should. Remember, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And what we find is that God is going to allow the United States to collapse, and then to fill that vacuum comes the Roman Empire final resurrection, and that's going to be the European Union, and the dominant power again is going to be, that's right, the sons of the Romans, or the Germans as they call themselves today. So that is where we are with this resurrection taking place. Now, as we have seen, ladies and gentlemen, the beast changes shape and leaders. That is what is happening. It's changing shape and leaders in terms of the way it is governed. But the purpose continues because the power comes from the devil. It is the domination of mankind that is at stake. What they don't know is that the God of heaven is going to intervene and set up his own government headquarters in Jerusalem, and the word of the Lord is going to go forth from Jerusalem. That is the good news. The old King James word that says gospel means good news. So when we talk about the gospel, it's the good news. What good news? The good news of the coming kingdom of God, that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth to set up a kingdom. Now, many do not understand this, and some even teach that we're going off to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. What it says is Jesus is coming back to earth, and we, the saints, are going to reign and rule with him. Revelation, the 20th chapter. So we are cognizant of this, and we're mindful. We recognize what is at stake. And none of the power that you see out there today promotes the kingdom of God or God's way. They're just satisfying the power vacuum. That's all. They are just there, taking up space, so to speak, and sometimes prevent what we call chaos or anarchy. But you and I are going to teach others God's way. We are called now to develop holy and righteous character, and that is how we are qualified to enter the kingdom, and then we're going to be given our position. So when Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you," he's talking about a place in his government for us to rule. What are we going to do? Teach other people the way of life. Now, for you and I who are called to be teachers now, we're doing that already. But we're going to do it even more when Jesus returns. Our kingdom will be assigned when Jesus returns. No, we're not taking over any kingdom on earth now. We're doing a lot, but we want to just pass the information out and become a witness. That is our assignment. And when Jesus comes, then we're going to teach all nations. As I pointed out earlier, there are upheavals taking place in Kenya right now. We ask that you pray for the people and pray for the nation. God will give you wisdom and insight so that you can continue to do his will, to do his cause, and not be overly concerned about this. So continue to pray about this, and God will be with you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you in the next lesson.